These gorgeous tones here are, as you may well know, not produced by any kind of electronic instrument, but by the electric guitar of Orion Bachi. And here we go with some more familiar guitar tones. This comes from a 2004 album called Grapes from the Estate. I'm not sure if it's fair to call this Orion's breakthrough album. In some ways, I think it may have been, because it marked a point where these guitar tones were augmented with all sorts of other wonderful sounds, including the very subtle snare in the background. I'm going to be talking to Orion in just 2 seconds. Before I started playing this track, we were listening to Fenice and his remix of Mertzbau from 2003. It's just called Frog Remix, and it's remixes of the album Frog on that same label, Misanthropic Agenda. Why are we hearing this? Because Mertzbau is coming to Sydney. It's been many years, and he's coming to Sydney for the Aurora Festival happening right now and happening this coming week. And Orion Bachi is another artist playing at that festival, as well as actually collaborating with the man himself. And I've got Orion on the line. Are you there?
Hey, Peter.
Hey. Hey, there you are. Excellent. Orion is in Melbourne at the moment. So I would really like to talk to you a little bit about your latest album, which is really one of my favourite albums of the year so far. I will get onto that, but let's talk about the shows that are coming up this week. I think that, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think that the last time we had Mertzbau in the country, it was courtesy of the What Is Music Festival. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. I don't remember what year that was, but probably around 2003, maybe 2004.
Right. Yeah. That's a long time, isn't it? Yeah. And of course, he was already a huge legend, as he had been for many years. At that time, that festival that you ran kind of across the East Coast, was able to get all sorts of big names, and you build it up amazingly. So was that kind of your first contact with Masami Akita?
Actually, no. The first time, we used to trade music in the early 90s, and I was really getting into a lot of underground Japanese music, especially the noise scene. And he's like definitely one of the most important experimental artists around, but definitely, at the forefront of that noise scene. And the first time I went to Tokyo in 1993, he invited me over to his place, and we hung out and have remained in contact since then. So that's 1993. That's quite a while. Yeah.
It sure is.
Quite a while ago.
So in terms of your history, in 93, were you kind of making music already at that point?
That was my first tour in Japan, was then actually.
So who was the band at that point? Was it Flem?
I was doing a lot of improvised stuff with Robbie Abenheim, and we were working with a lot of just various Japanese artists that wanted to play, so we were really definitely entrenched in that Japanese noise scene. And that was sort of when, around 1992, 1993, I think the peak of that stuff was, it was just really peaking. It was a really exciting time to be there.
Yeah, I mean, that it's kind of amazing how far that kind of adventurous sound goes back. I mean, it's not, it really oughtn't be. I guess it's just that at that stage I was in late high school and probably a bit unaware of some of that sort of stuff, of course, but and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are even younger, but you've been involved in that scene for a very long time. So as far as these gigs go, was that kind of existing connection part of why you're both on this bill, as well as actually playing together?
Not sure. I think he was keen to play, to do a collab with me, and we've never done a duo together. We've played, I think, about 5 years ago. I was working with an American band, Sunho, and we were touring Japan. We were touring Japan at the time, and we did a show with Masami guesting. We did the whole gig with him, and that was probably the only time I've played with him, live. But I've shared bills with him over the years, all over the world. So I do see him quite often. Yeah.
And right. So with Sunho, is it an improvised thing live, or did he sort of join in on songs that exist?
Well, yeah. There's definitely lots of structure and lots of songs, but there's lots of open, moments that are quite open, and people can sort of jump in and do stuff. So for that show, we definitely planned it, for Masami to be featured, and there was a duo with Masami and Attila, the vocalist, and it was a really fun show, and it actually culminated in probably the loudest show I've ever done in my life, and I've done a lot of loud shows, but that was completely ridiculous, and Masami's table collapsed from the vibrations on the floor, and collapsed all over my gear, and his gear stopped working. My gear, I don't know why, but my gear kept working, and he had to, because there was so much fog and chaos, he just had to bail out. There was just no way that he could play anymore. So that's the way he ended the show anyway. We continued playing.
Oh, well, that's...
And actually, I think it came out on CD in Japan. That gig came out. Or some sort of mix of that gig came out in Japan on CD.
That's one to forage through the websites probably for. So how are you going to approach it's in a week, isn't it? It's on Sunday that the duo set is happening, I think.
Yep.
Are you going to approach it with very few preconceptions, or have you got some thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we've had absolutely no correspondence about the gig at all, not one email. I think we're both used to doing this sort of thing, and we'll just... go there and play, and I'm a fan of his music. I always have been, and one thing I like in particular is I think it's really quite psychedelic and has this sort of motion or movement about it, and I want to sort of tap into that hopefully and see where it goes.
Yeah, I remember when I saw him at the Gaelic Club in its heyday probably as well. That was what I noticed, and I think it was probably sort of early days for my... I'd been to plenty of Watties music festivals, but I wasn't really fully attuned to that sound, and there's something strangely approachable about it despite all of the extreme sounds in there.
That was a beautiful show, actually. He played a really fantastic set that night. I really remember that for sure. Yeah.
I guess because we haven't been able to interview him because of really language barrier and timing constraints, I might just ask you a question about him, since you've played some shows with him, which is kind of how does he produce the sounds that he produces, and what kind of... I'm sure that there's unlimited numbers of ways that he does, but sure, what do you expect kind of...
Well, his sound it's definitely evolved over the years, especially in the live context. When I first saw him perform in the early 90s, he was using lots of sort of springs and sort of metallic objects that he was processing via, effect pedals, just really old school, and lots of amplification. So it was very, very tactile and very physical. And then... there was the laptop era where he started using a laptop and actually didn't use any other instruments. And then he started to use two laptops. I think that's the time you saw him using two laptops, sort of early, around 2003, 2004. And quite recently, he's gone back to using a lot of the homemade objects in conjunction with the laptop stuff. So it's like a combination of the two, analog and digital. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That should be
kind of the best of the best of both worlds in a way.
Yeah, well, that should be quite kind of exciting for the audience to see, hopefully, as well as here. Back to yourself. When I sort of first started seeing you live, it was the time of the sort of guitar abstraction when we would see you playing a guitar through all sorts of effects, and what we would hear was with these incredibly sort of pure ambient tones. And you were doing that for quite a while, but your various albums have kind of moved on, then augmented that with all sorts of arrangements of all sorts. So how do you approach your solo live sets these days?
Yeah, it's very much connected to what I used to do. It's really difficult for me to do what I do on the records, because there's lots of acoustic instrumentation, and a lot of the acoustic stuff is really, really fragile and very played very softly, and it's sort of coexisting with quite physical frequencies from the guitar. So when I do it live, it's usually much more raw, and it's all guitar derived, and basically guitar and effects pedals. It can be quite physical, and I guess the last few years, I'm not really afraid to make it less abstract, or just sometimes it really does sound like a guitar, and in some ways it just sounds like really raw rock music at times as well.
The collaborations that I've heard in the last while, they've been in the last couple of years, coupled with Jim O'Rourke and with Keji Hino as well. I'm just sort of thinking of those, and then thinking also of what you're going to be doing with Mertzbau, playing with other instruments, potentially very loud. I presume that has to kind of inform the sounds that you're going to be producing as well.
Sure. And, over the last, I've worked a lot with Sun and, composers like Phil Niblock, and a lot of those sort of people, use extreme or high volume to sort of achieve the sound sort of resonating in the space, and that's really influenced my solo work for sure as well. So it sort of looks back to the past with those sort of electronica kind of things, but it's definitely got a lot more rock, and in a way I think it's really connected to Indian music and just really simple kind of raw music, from the past. It's just quite basic and quite primal at times as well.
When you're putting together these albums, you were talking about the delicateness of the sounds that sort of surround your guitar. So is there a huge amount of work that goes into sort of balancing all of those sounds into the finished product?
It is a little tricky. I've found with mastering, I think when I mastered Grapes from the Estate, actually, in the end, I didn't master Grapes from the Estate because it was just too difficult, because, I really want the bass tones to be quite physical and pure. But if you push it too much, it just starts compressing and just doesn't sound very pure anymore. But I somehow want this sort of delicate acoustic stuff to coexist with those tones. So it's kind of tricky, when you master to get that balance, to find that balance. I don't want it to be a new age record, and I don't want it to be a noise record. I kind of want it, this sort of fine balance between, delicate and physical. So I think I'm getting better at that now. I'm sort of used to it. But there were times when, engineers would sort of throw their hands up in the air and just say, I can't do this.
As I recall, Grapes from the Estate, because I was lucky enough to play on one of those tracks, was recorded at Big Jesus Burger, the sadly deceased studio, which was Chris Townend's studio in Sydney. And so was he actually the guy behind the desk for that?
He was, yeah, I did a lot of work with Chris on that record, and actually the collaborative stuff that I did with Chris with our pop band
Son
was, yeah. was really, really influential on that record, because you know, with that collaboration with Chris, I started playing a lot of other instruments, and I'm originally a drummer, and then I kind of thought, well, why am I doing this with my own solo work? So kind of, just gave me some inspiration to try out other instruments along with the guitar.
Right.
So my solo stuff really evolved from that connection or collaboration with Chris.
Yeah, right. Okay. And do you kind of get behind the drum kit much these days? Are you kind of usually a guitarist these days, or do you kind of go back to the drums sometimes?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of drums actually lately, especially with KG Hino and Jim O'Rourke. We have two records now that I'm playing drums on, and there's a new thing coming out on Stephen O'Malley's label with Hino, KG and Stephen actually, and I'm playing drums on that. So yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. I actually have a record that's going to come out later in the year on Editions Mego, and I play everything on that, including drums, and it's very rock actually.
So okay, awesome.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, cool. Okay, yeah, well, I've heard some of those, and I guess I wasn't necessarily thinking about who was playing what instruments, but in fact, in the background now we've got I think it's Hino's vocals on this Tima Formosa album.
I play guitar on that one.
Okay. Okay, right. Well, so on the latest album, the kind of centerpiece of that half hour piece has the amazing drumming of Joe Talia, and all sorts of guests on there. And I think I'll play now or in a minute the cover that you do at the end of Ace Frehley. Did you choose that, you know, just because you wanted to do a cover of it, or is he a really kind of big kind of figure in your musical?
Well, I was a huge Kiss fan when I was, you know, really young, 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
And the first gig I went to was Kiss at the Sydney Showground. I think I don't remember what year that was, 80 or 81 maybe.
Right.
And I always loved the Ace Frehley solo record. I always thought he was a really underrated songwriter, and he was almost like the George Harrison, you know,
of
Kiss or something. And but I also, the more I listened to that record, especially that particular track, I just heard it in this sort of American minimalist way, you know. And I just thought it was a really beautiful piece. So I just wanted to, I just had this sort of, fantasy to cover it and sort of bring that out a little bit more in a, you know, in a really subtle way, and not be flashy or anything, just because it's a beautiful piece of music.
I think
the album in a way is really sort of, I don't know, reflects a lot of the stuff that I used to listen to when I was growing up, and sort of somehow coming out now, which is kind of strange, but all the pieces on that record, especially the 30-minute piece, because in my teens I used to listen to a lot of ECM records, and there were a lot of records that featured Jack DeJohnette on drums, and they were quite free and propulsive, but then there was all this sort of textural weird stuff on top, and that really influenced that piece in a way, just revisiting these records that I used to love when I was young.
There's some, before I go and play this, the Frehley cover, once kind of all of the movement and motion in that track finishes, or as it's finishing, there are these incredible crashing sounds in there, and I think from looking at the credits, that's some kind of spring or a piece of metal or something. Is that right?
It's a spring from the back of a Fender Twin amp.
Right. And so it's the amp that's kind of amplifying that. And
no, you can actually remove it, and it can sort of become an instrument on its own. So
Oh, nice.
Simply a spring. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's a nice sort of segue into the maybe some of the sound sources that Mats Bauer has used in his history as well. So awesome. Well, we can't wait to have you back in Sydney for these gigs, as well as that duo concert, which is for the, I think, closing gig on the Sunday. You're playing a solo set. Do you remember which day it is?
Thursday.
It's Thursday. Yeah. Excellent, yeah. So recommended everyone to go along to that. And not going to hear sounds like this track I'm going to play now, but I might also go back and play something else solo of yours before moving on to some other stuff. But yeah, so this is the last track from Audience of One, the latest album from Oren Ambachi from a little earlier this year. And this track is Fractured Mirror. Thank you.
Yes returns to the Sydney Writers' Festival this year for the great unveiling, a night of storytelling that interrogates our notions of public and private. Bringing a diverse range of writers, thinkers and performers to the stage for the very first time, you will be joined by Lex Marinos, Monique Shafter, Anna Barnes, Nick Keyes and Cassandra Wilkinson for a night of tales of all sorts. Catch them on May 17 at Pier 23 on Hickson Road, Walsh Bay. Get all the details at swf.org.au.
There we go. From 1999, that is Arnan Bachi from his album Insulation, which may have been his first album on the Touch label. We heard the track Concurrence there, and I don't want to kind of go to be too outlandish and suggest for sure that it was all guitar there, but he was certainly very famous for years and years for as essentially producing music that sounded like minimal electronica, but was entirely produced on the guitar. And it was pretty fantastic seeing him doing that live and strumming and bending and plucking on his guitar. Of course, you'd hear nothing at the time because it would be fed into little kind of mixes and multiple effects pedals. And then as he kind of pressed on a pedal or kind of bent something in certain ways, you start hearing these incredible pure tones and bass tones and sounds and even rhythms and things as things were looped. And yeah, it was an amazing thing. So that was Concurrence. And before that, we heard the fantastic closing track from his latest album, An Audience of One. And it was a cover of Ace Frehley of Kiss.